G'day trendsetters, welcome to episode 740 of the Trainsmove podcast. My name is Tim Egg, and if you have a question for the show, jump on through to the website trainsmove.com or send me through an email tim@trainsmove.com. Now, trendsetters, it's not easy for me to say this bit. I'm opening myself up. A few episodes ago, I talked about my fantasy concert festival thing that I just completely stole from the Matty Johns podcast. I just made it my own. Anyway, it leads to these deep open wounds that I suffer in life. One of the world's greatest regrets. I mentioned in that show that I've been to, especially years ago when I was, you know, late teens, early 20s, I went to a lot of concerts, saw tons of bands. And one festival I would go to on a regular basis was the Big Day Out each year. I'd go with my older sister, and we would go. I would pay because, you know, that's what good younger brothers do, I guess. And we would go and watch all these shows. And I forget what year it was. 94, somewhere around there. And for the people that know, I don't even know if the Big Day Out's still a thing anymore. But back then, you'd pay $50 for a ticket, which I would imagine is just chicken feed these days. And they'd have the event organizers would bring some of the biggest bands in the world to the show and have a big festival. And it's generally in the middle of summer, which is the worst possible time to hold such a bloody thing, where everyone's just completely jammed, packed into a field together. But anyway, there are multiple stages all around the place, and I was stuck in this dilemma. The Ramones, I was listening to the Ramones at the time, but you know, a couple of years later, I became right into the Ramones. But I had a couple of their albums at the time, and they were there playing at the Big Day Out live on stage, and I thought, we'll go watch the Ramones. But unfortunately, there was another band at the time that was playing at the exact same time in another hall. And you're probably saying, Tim, what band could be better than the Ramones that were playing on the other hall? And this is where the pain opens up. And yeah, you're probably thinking, what band could it be? Like AC/DC? Could it be Metallica? Could it be bloody, you know, one of these big bands? It was Custard. You've probably heard that. You've been thinking, did I hear that right? Yes, it didn't age well, did it? I chose watching bloody Custard live over the Ramones. I regretted it soon after it too. It was that night or something. I go, we should have went to watch the Ramones or whatever. And that huge regret is just multiplied day after day. Yeah, I think about that all the time. Yeah, unfortunately, I think about this all the time. But bloody Custard, who goes and watches Custard over the Ramones? Anyway, now that I've just said it out loud, I probably want to go and swallow some Drano or something. I'm a bit depressed at the moment. Anyway, time for some questions. And today's question comes from Bilal, who I used to coach a few solid years ago, 2017-ish, for a couple of years. I coached him. Good athlete. Good guy. And he always puts a smile on my face, because every now and again I put, you know, a stupid comment or a post or whatever of something that I find interesting, or an article on the private Trainsmove page on Facebook, and I always puts a smile on my face when I see that he's liked it. So he writes, it's the little things in life that makes it that pleases me the most. He writes, my question is more for an advice I need. I broke my collarbone last year during my first Ironman at 145 km. Oh, mate. I broke my collarbone the day before an Ironman once. Not that much fun. We're completely overrated. Digressed. And I was on target for breaking 10 hours. Now that I've entered a long-distance Ironman in September, my goal is to go under 10 hours. The course is dead flat. that's a key putt there. To me, 59 kilos and an FTP of around 265 watts, therefore 4.4 watts per kilo. God, I just love it when people do the homework for me, because I was about to grab the calculator then and start working that out. I ran 5Ks in 16:03. See, I told you guys he was a good athlete. And I will do 10 kilometers next Sunday when I want to run a low 33 minutes. I can swim 500 meters with a pace of around 1 minute 36, but I suck at sighting in open water. To my question, I work with a coach and just want to more advice on hitting my goals. What is the most important thing to work on? I still have a lot of time to prepare and I want to make the most of it. What are the paces and wattages I should be running and biking in? In a dream race, I finished the swim in 1 hour 15 minutes. I bike in 4 hours 59 minutes. And I run in 3 hours 20 minutes. So what does it take to prepare to finish at these times? I can manage to train for around 15 hours a week. You once said on the podcast to be specific. I hope this is specific enough. It is, mate. Yeah, and it's true. If you guys have training, racing, nutrition questions, make them super specific, because it helps give an answer, because we get a lot of questions. And I love your questions that are more generic than anything. Well, I have to give a generic answer more than anything. So this is a lot helpful. This is good. So the first answer is you should ask this to your coach, your current coach, because he's probably got a plan. He's probably got the answers right then and there, and he'll be able to give it to you. So that would be the proper answer I could give. But that's boring. So let's actually give you a different answer. I would say, so if you can swim, starting off from scratch here, if you can swim, 1:36 pace for 500 meters, I would imagine you could hold at least 1:42 for an Ironman. It depends on the water conditions, tides, waves, that sort of stuff. So you would get out of the water in about that hour and 5 minutes. So that's a lot quicker. For the bike course, a super flat course, you're going to be at a very quick guess here, if you hold between 195 to 200 watts, 100 to 200 watts, and stay aerodynamic, without knowing too much about the course, I would say if it's super flat, I reckon you would be well and truly in that time frame and running a 4:45 pace off the bike. So how do you blend all of that together? So I mentioned in I'll mention this bit first and then I'll go into a little bit more, but I mentioned in that last podcast when I'm talking about my own racing in the I'm racing this weekend, and I'm not fast by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm strong, and I need to do well in a race, I need it to be hilly, I need it to be dead rough roads, I need it to, you know, a little bit of warmth into it, but windy, a bit miserable. So just to even that playing field out from the people who are naturally fast or who are fast, I can at least try and breach that gap slightly. The first things that stick out to me is you've got to be strong enough to get out of the water at that time and be able to ride at 200 watts for 5 hours. There's no, because it's dead flat, we're not talking about you've got to cap your power at a certain percentage on hills. You know, if you hit 6% hills, you'd ride it at 250. If it's 4% hills, you ride it at 238, sort of thing. You don't need to worry about that. So you're just kind of jumping onto your bike, pretending you're on erg mode, sit that bad boy onto 200 watts and just hold it. And then you should need to be able to run 4:45 pace per kilometre for 42.2 kilometres. The problem is with dead flat roads, dead flat bike courses, is you're in that aero position constantly for 5 hours. There is no... you think, oh yeah, be able to do that beautifully. But you've got to have to condition your body to not only be able to ride at 200 watts in that, but you have to do it in that position. The only time you're going to get out of that position is probably going through aid stations where you get to sit up, you stretch that little, you stretch your back a little, you stretch your neck, you stretch your shoulders or whatever, you're grabbing some more fluids or whatever from the aid stations, you're topping everything up, and you're back into that aero position for another 15 Ks and you're not moving. It all sounds good, these beautiful flat courses, until you're stuck in that aero position constantly and there's no let up. It's not like you've got rolling hills where you get to sit up and you pedal up a hill for a while and then you dive down and into a different type of position and you bomb it down a hill. And then you get back into that aero position trying to maintain that speed you've had from going down that hill. You don't have any of that. You're in that aero position. So being as strong as you possibly can while maintaining that aero position is going to be the key to your entire race, I would imagine. Your bike depends on it. Your run depends on it. I will also say aerodynamics is going to be a very, can be your best friend. So if you can get off, if you can improve your aerodynamics on the bike, and all of a sudden you can do that same bike at 190 watts and not 200 watts, well, now you're coming off that bike a lot fresher. I'm obsessed by this aerodynamic things a little bit at the moment. It's taken me a couple of years to get in the little position that I'm in at the moment. And when I first, I forget how many months ago it was. I changed my position, must be at least 6 months ago, maybe more. I changed this position to what I'm currently in now. And I couldn't hold it for more than 5 minutes at a time before I got all stiff and cranky. And it made me excited because I'm thinking, this is going to be great when I'm able to do this properly. And I had to change my pads, where my elbow pads there, so I can be more comfortable in this position. And I lost a lot of power in this position, but I kept at it because I knew the power will come. And it's really only been in the last couple of months I've seen that power return. It's been a very long process to get to this. And must have been about 8-9 months ago now I changed this position. Maybe time flies, I don't know. And so what I'm saying is we're told by bike fitters all the time that comfiness is everything. You can be in the most aerodynamic position, but if you can't hold it for a full bike time, for the full bike length, or if you can't run off the bike, it's not that aerodynamic. Yes, true. And if all you're trying to do is hit a certain, a PB, or you're trying to just finish a race, 100%. But we can adapt our bodies if you're patient and if you do the proper training to adapt that body to your new position. It can take a lot of time to do it, but you could save. So if you do aero testing, let's say you do it three different times to do it, retesting, just check everything over, just changing everything. What's this helmet going to do? What's my hand position on this going to do? What if I have a shield versus only sunglasses? I tested all sorts of stuff, and then I retested it again, and then I retested it all again. And I did the Chung method to work out my CDA on each one, which you can also use the Chung method on Golden Cheetah. It just saves manually calculating it as much. And that... what you can do in a like a day's worth of aero testing, you could take away 3, 6, 12 months worth of training just to get those same gains. So if you can, so at the moment, well, let's call it your Ironman power is 200 watts. If you can improve your aerodynamics so you can now do this bike leg at 190 watts or 185 watts for the same time, and you're getting off fresher, mate, you're in a much nicer spot. But having said all that, so I would also look at nutrition. Nutrition's going to be... I would disagree. I would... what's the word I'm looking for? I would... good podcast when I can't find the words. I wouldn't listen too much to 90 grams of carbs or 120 grams of carbs. You're 59 kilos. I would be keeping it somewhere around that 60 grams of carbs per hour, somewhere around there at a glance, and making sure you're able to consume that during, you know, during all that bike and able to do it on the run as well. But that whole race is going to depend on that bike ride. If you can come off that bike feeling fresh, you're feeling strong, you're going to be as sound as a pound. But it'd be considering it to be very much a strength focused lead up to it. So a lot of hill running, a lot of bike on the hills, just trying, and a lot spending an incredible amount of time on in that aero position, incredible amount of time, and doing big gear work in that aero position as well. So for instance, you might have you might do, let's say, the 16 weeks leading into it, or also every single week you're doing the equivalent of an hour of big gear work within a session. I know, what's his name, the Australian Ironman athlete, Tim Van Berkel, went in lead up to an Ironman, he would do 3 times 20 minutes big gear work, hovering just under threshold. And it would be, I forget the gears he would do it, talk about it. I think it was like 65 RPM, just grinding away at those. You don't need to be doing 3 times 20 minutes. You can play around with all that stuff. But I'd be... You've just got to get off the bike as fresh as possible so you're able to run that 4:45. And then if you can run a 10K in low 33 minutes, all these times are very doable. If you're strong enough, you're fit enough, and you don't bonk. So just exactly as you're getting closer to this race, how you did the podcast, make it super specific. Your training has to be super specific too, to help replicate what you'll be able to achieve on race day. But it's exciting, mate. I hope you keep us in touch. Up to date with how everything's going, and yeah, enjoy the it's a beautiful sport, this it's a great lifestyle, to in my opinion, this sport, and especially when we have these big little hungry goals, and yeah, it's good stuff. But don't be, if you get more time, don't be afraid of adding extra volume, and it doesn't need to be silly volume. It doesn't need to be I got more time here, so let me just do a quick threshold session. Just more aerobic volume will help greatly as well, especially on you know your long runs and your long bikes, and don't be afraid to one session I do like to do, like to give some athletes, is 60% of an Ironman in the lead up to an Ironman. So you might do this 6 weeks, 3 weeks out, 6 weeks out, 9 weeks out, 12 weeks out, for instance. Or you go 6 weeks, 9 weeks, 12 weeks, where you're just doing 60%. So you'll go, so even without the swim, but let's say you do 120K on the bike, you get off the bike, quick transition, no mucking around, because you're simulating straight into a 26K run off the bike. That's a good solid solid session. Or don't worry about paces, worry about intensity, worry about effort, worry about you know, how does it feel? I wouldn't be going, right, it's 4:45, because you know natural terrains can screw you up over that, or fatigue or whatever, and you don't want to be tapering for a session like that. It's just a session, here it is, let's go, 60%, we're on. But yeah, good stuff. Anyway, if you guys have any training, racing, nutrition questions, send them on through to tim@trainsmooth.com. until next episode, hooroo.